Welcome to the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast, the nationally recognized preferred provider for asset protection and tax planning in the nation. This show is for business owners and investors looking to protect their assets, save on taxes, and build their wealth with Michael Bowman, an attorney, author, and a featured instructor at Anderson's Tax and Asset Protection event held throughout the country. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Bowman's Business Brief, a part of Anderson's Business Advisors podcast. Today, really excited about having one of my long-term clients on the line here and giving some words of wisdom that he has and some experiences that he has. He's been a client since September of 2007, so been around for a long time. With me today, I've got my client, Eddie. Eddie, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yes, sir. Eddie Russell here.
Yeah, I still remember us meeting back in Atlanta, right? Orlando.
Yeah, it was Orlando for the first time we met. We kind of bonded pretty good there, but your information was something I was searching for years.
That's right. And so even looking at your situation, you know, we sat down. How long, give me kind of some background, or give the audience some background to your history with your business, your electrician, and everything else like that.
Well, I grew up as an electrician. I got my master's in 1986. I started my own business, and I had my business for about 32 years. I just sold it not too long ago. It was a very successful business. And during the process, I always loved real estate anyway. I worked for one of my biggest clients here in Atlanta was Mims Enterprises. They owned considerable good part of Atlanta, and I was lucky enough to be able to work with these gentlemen and this company. And I really saw how well they were doing, and I really enjoyed working in the commercial and residential business of all the real estate. So I decided that I like to do that too in the future. So I started saving up my funds from my electrical business and built up some funds, and then I started slowly purchasing properties and managing the properties.
So that's kind of a key thing there. So you weren't just born with into a family that had a ton of real estate. You actually worked hard and saved and slowly started to acquire properties. That reminds me of myself.
Zero in the family thing. Dad was an electrician also, but we had six kids. There was no money to go around. We had to earn every penny we had.
Well, I think it gave you a great foundation. I was raised the same way, and I remember graduating from law school and starting putting money away, then finally getting one rental property and building on from there. So that's we got that in common. That's probably why we bonded so well that first meeting.
Yeah, I had a good father. He instilled hard work in us. There's no question.
That's awesome. And so you got into a single family right away, or what was your first entry type of investing?
First entry was starting to purchase residential properties just for rentals. And I repaired them myself, got the loans for myself. And, you know, at the very beginning, that's how I started. And as I went on and on and on, after I retired from the business, and I went back to school and got my real estate master's and really started changing the way I do things, because a lot of the ways I was doing it was not really the way it should be done. And I was starting to collect too many assets.
Ah, and so real estate education is pretty key, right?
Well, there's no question. I learned from a lot of people's mistakes, but I also learned a lot from my mistakes. And I'm high on education. I started, you know, I needed more education. And as I got educated with the real estate, I was starting to understand that I was not educated enough just for real estate. I needed to be educated in holding on to these properties, structuring these properties, insuring these properties, and trying to keep these properties along with my family and my will and my children. So I needed to have a structure that I just didn't know how to do it. So
that's interesting. So you decided to go ahead and bite the bullet and sit through a tax and asset protection class, huh?
Yeah. Well, it was pretty much my wife and I. She said you need to do something, Eddie. You need to do something. So I started looking into some classes and everything, and that's when I actually found you guys. So that was a wonderful thing.
Did you have any sort of structure before you met us? I think you had an LLC or something, right?
I did not, Michael. I had several properties, but they were all still in my name.
Oh, wow.
It was a big mistake. And then, you know, as I went to school and got, learned a little bit more about entity structuring from the classes in real estate, I was learning that I needed to have some kind of structure and started creating some LLCs. And then I did create some LLCs, but I did it online. And I really did it the totally improper way.
What were your thoughts about structuring and entities? Was it mystical, or was it there was just a lot of information, a lot of confusion out there?
Well, I was really confused. I mean, I was actually really nervous because I was starting to, you know, I was starting to create a lot of assets, and I was really, really concerned about being sued and liabilities and just all of that for my family. I didn't want to lose anything, all that hard work I've earned from being uneducated about it.
No kidding. And so you sat through this class, and then you met a character named Michael Bowman, and he sits down with you. We started going through your assets. And tell me kind of about the meeting, what you were thinking about at that point.
Well, first of all, Mr. Bowman did a terrific job at the meeting, and he was just one of those fellas that I bonded with pretty nice. He became very professional and became a good friend in the process and just kind of really briefed me on everything that was out there and gave me a lot of options. And I remember at that first meeting, we sat down and I went through all these properties that I had. I think I had like 7 or 8 properties at that time. And you and I sat down, and after sitting down with you after that meeting, I realized how uneducated I was with that situation, that all the things that you started to remind me of and all the options that you started to create for me. That's pretty much where we started creating what we needed to do and sit down and start working things out. We didn't have a will at that time, so brought in that factor with me and taking care of my assets in case I pass, all kinds of things that needed to be done that I was worried about. And I'm, you know, Michael, to this point, I'm so glad I found you guys.
I
sleep
love
better, and I do a lot of sleepless nights.
I love hearing that story. What about some apprehensions about, you know, the costs or you know, confusion or creating more complications in your life? But did you have those kind of concerns?
Oh, sure, I did. You know, even maintaining the LLCs with business fees every month, you know, every year with business fees, and it doesn't compare to what you're saving and what you do. The fees and creating this whole thing, the cost of it is irrelevant. It really is. It's irrelevant.
I bring that up because a lot of times, you know, I'll be talking with, you know, individuals and they'll have the great need, but then they'll look at the costs or they'll say, oh my gosh, it must be a lot of work. And then all of a sudden you look at it, well, what's the cost of a lawsuit? What's the cost of, you know, not doing something? And then the tax savings. And so we got you all structured out and, you know, it was pretty nice to watch you grow into running the business and, you know, keeping the corporate formalities. You've done a great job with that. And then you've got a corporation that you do a lot of your quick turns in through, right?
Yes, I do. You and I sat down and we talked about a management company we created of T Enterprises, which was the management company that runs all these properties, and they have contracts with all the LLCs to take care of it and run it.
So the neat thing was, as I watched you grow, I watched you run the business, I watched you get some tax benefits, and that was successful on its own. And then all of a sudden something happened. You got a knock at the door, didn't you?
Yeah, everybody expected. This is why we do this, Michael, for that unexpected knock on the door. And so far in my 21 years of doing real estate, it's been the second knock. And I am so, and you know what? I am really not worried about knocks on the door. They can knock on my door all I want. What we created is it runs so fluently here at the office, and it's so easy for me to just go through everything. And the way you taught us to process the funds and go from where to where and to do things, long as we stay in the process of doing things properly and respecting the corporations and the LLCs the way they should be, I sleep great at night. I don't really have any problems with knocks on the door. Actually, I'm waiting for them. Go ahead, you know?
I love the confidence. We were just talking earlier that there was 2 lawsuits that the structure helped out in, and I think it'd be great for the audience to hear. Go ahead and give me some background. You know, what led to these lawsuits? Or you can start with lawsuit number one and lawsuit number two.
Just to back up a little bit on that, Michael, the confidence level, you know, is just pretty much off the roof, because I can operate my business and do things I need to do without worrying about any of that stuff and, you know, and tiptoeing or walking on eggshells like most people do. I don't walk on eggshells anymore. I used to do that. I make my decisions in business and I live with it. If I screw up, I kicked myself in the tail, but I have every confidence that what I'm doing is in the right direction, and I don't have to worry about the consequences if I do screw up.
Yeah, well, it's a little, you know, it's and screw up, you know, that could mean just something that just happens in regular course of life or business or anything else like that. So it gives you the.
No, we all know real estate. We all know real estate is a high liability business.
Absolutely. One of the most litigious areas because all the tenants out there and I think
and everybody on your property. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I found out a long time ago, they're not looking for people who don't have any money. They're looking for people with money.
I've never heard of a homeless person being sued. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I never got a job from a homeless person either.
That's right.
Are you looking to lower your taxes, protect your assets, and grow your wealth? Are you a real estate investor, stock trader, or business owner? If you answered yes, Anderson Advisors Tax and Asset Protection Workshop is for you. Let host Clint Coons, Toby Mathis, and Michael Bowman teach you how to protect and keep more of what you earn. Our workshops are held monthly throughout the country and via live stream. Two in-person tickets to the workshop are only $99. To learn more about the dates and locations, visit AndersonAP.com and register today.
So leading up to these lawsuits, kind of give me some background and how these all came about.
Well, the first knock on the door was a big thunder because that's the first time it's ever happened to me.
How'd you feel when you got served those papers?
I was actually scared to death, Michael.
Yeah.
I mean, I was scared to death, even though I had the structure and everything in place. But to tell you the truth, this was the time to see if this building block and all this time I spent and money was going to hold up. So, you know, anything you do in life, you know what? You have to try it out, right? You have to take it for a road spin.
This is like that was like the test drive of the structure, huh?
It was a test drive of the structure and a learning process. But I can tell you what, man, it ran all over them.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So give us some history. Give us the kind of the roadmap of this.
History, the first one they knocked on my doors, I had built three commercial properties locally here. I used a small community bank, and it was about a little bit of $3.5 million. And we had a problem with one of the pieces of property, and it wasn't due to any non-payments or anything like that. We had some structural problems, and they were coming back at me because what they were saying is they didn't want that building in their portfolio anymore.
Now they tell you, right? When there's a problem arising, huh?
Yeah, you know, everything was approved. We had inspections. Everything was good. There was already tenants in it and everything else. So everything was going well on my side. But anyway, they knocked on the door and they filed a suit on all three of them. They were calling all three because they had the loans.
Yeah.
And they had the right to call all three, they said.
Well, and all of a sudden, all that hard work, putting tenants in there, building it out.
My years of working in there. And you know, we did the electrical in it, obviously, because I was an electrical contractor. And then, you know, all the tenants. And, you know, lots of time spent for the management and everything else. But anyway, they were all going very well when they knocked on the door. But that's when I got the love letter in the mail. And they started subpoenaing me and putting liens on everything. And that's when I called you for that first time.
I still remember sitting out there in the lobby of a hotel talking to you and walking you through it, for sure.
I was really glad I met you. You made me feel a lot more comfortable to proceed and do what I needed to do. So do you want me to talk about that one and the other one at the same time, or you want me to
let's do this one and then we'll do the next one. Yeah, for sure. So they were going after all three properties, even though there was only one issue with one of the properties.
Yeah, what they did is they lien the properties already anyway.
Ah.
So and they're the bank and they lien them, all three of them. So anyway, I hired my attorneys. We went through the whole situation. We went back and forth for this took at least probably about 13 months with fees and everything and them doing everything they needed to do, the discovery and what they learning all about my structure and everything. And, you know, my attorneys went back and forth. You know, there was a lot of in between, you know, obviously going back and forth.
Sure.
So what happened was on our last meeting, they sat us all down. They said at this time that they wanted to work out something else about not taking the other properties and things like that because it was going to be too difficult, their words were. And I think the too difficult was is because after they started finding out the way this was structured, being all the properties were in different LLCs here in Georgia, and then the holding companies were holding them in Nevada from what you guys created, and then going to Nevada and finding out that the holding company wasn't even, that was owned by my living trust, which you guys created, which was an incredible setup. But anyway, long story short on that one, they came up with an agreement, and we agreed that I had another building that I was just going to sell that was cash. We didn't have any loans on it. They didn't have anything to do with that building. They were looking for $200,000 out of this project to release the building. So I ended up selling the building, getting the $200,000, getting them out of my hair, and they released all liens and put me all back on track. And I still have those buildings today.
Total net value, what do you think you, without having to give those properties back, what do you think you netted out of that?
I netted probably at least a little north of $3 million.
$3 million. Wow. Wow. That brings a smile to my face right now.
I would have lost them.
Yeah, I would have lost them. And also the free, the future appreciation and also the income from those properties.
Issues too. Yeah. But I mean, I would have lost those three buildings. I would have lost all the income, which would have killed me because, you know, this is what I live on now, Michael. I don't have an electrical business anymore. I sold it. So I live strictly on my real estate. So I would have lost all that income from those properties. I would have lost all the tax benefits. I would have had nothing to do. And I ended up only, you know, getting rid of one building, and I still had some, you know, I had a couple hundred thousand left over in cash that I could reinvest somewhere else because, you know, I gave them 200, but I sold the building for 600.
Nice.
So I still had, you know, I had 400,000 cash left over to reinvest somewhere else, and I got them totally out of my hair. And what I ended up doing was taking some of that 400,000 and putting the down payment on each one of those buildings to help those. In other words, I paid the notes for the next 24 months on those three buildings.
Nice. You know, a lot of people think that, you know, with an asset protection structure, you'll never get sued. That's not the case. Things happen. And but it's a matter of getting a positive result, which it sounds like you absolutely did. But $3.5 million bucks plus the income that you've generated since then. And appreciation. That sounds like a win to me.
No, it was a definitely win. And it was after that was over, the last deposition, after the last time we sat and they signed it off and freed me totally of everything. I tell you what, it was a great day.
Absolutely.
It was a great day, you know. So, and I know, and I sat back and I went, you know, I came back to the office and the next day I spent all day in the office going through the structure again, just verifying what we've done and just looked at the process and, you know, made myself real familiar with it. And it just worked really well. I could see that it made it difficult for them. There's no question. They were spending a lot of the bank's money on doing, you know, all this on attorney fees and sending me notices and, you know, all this stuff they were doing. So,
well, put you on a level playing field with these out of control, you know, plaintiff attorneys, and also it gives you some leverage against them. You know, to get through the structure, like you found it in the other lawsuit too, is, you know, it's time value of money. Do they want to spend more money, you know, to go after something that they're not sure of getting? You know, as in piercing through the going to Nevada, unwinding, go to Wyoming, wherever your holding company is, and trying to get through there. Or do they just go ahead and settle it out and move on to their next case? And so that's
right. And I understand that. And I think they made a wise decision, but it ends up making myself. I made an incredibly wise decision. And again, I thank you and your company for doing it. I mean, I could not operate any other way. I can tell you right now, that was a proven fact.
That's awesome. Yeah. So you got a good positive result. So tell me about the second lawsuit.
The second one was the most fun.
Oh.
It got to be fun now because I knew what was coming. But this took it to another level. It really tested the boundaries. So this one actually happened. Let me see. That happened about 3 years later. A small community bank here again in my town, which was not the same bank, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I went out and I took four loans out in the same bank. We knew the bank. I was been banking for him for years. He had no problems giving me four different loans on four different properties.
No, you had like a personal banker that you knew?
That's correct. You know, when I had my money then, I had a lot of accounts there. So there was no problems. I never had any problems. So we went in and got four loans. I bought four pieces of property, investment properties, renovated them, got them all working, and everything was really going well. The loans were renewed for every 3 years, okay? That was the loan. All four of them were renewed at the same time. But anyway, I've had those, and I had those loans for approximately 15 years, okay? And then, all of a sudden, my community bank failed.
You'd basically walk in and renew these loans every so often, huh?
Yeah, they didn't even tell me, actually. The bank went bankrupt, foreclosed on the bank, and I was ended up paying the FDIC. FDIC took the bank, right?
Yeah.
I paid loans to the federal deposit for 9 months. Everything was good. Still kept everything going just the same, like nothing's changed. And then FDIC sold it to a investment company, and they were an LLC. So there was 9 more payments left on the notes before the 3 months was up. So they started sending me notices, send my payments here. So I sent my payments there, blah, blah, blah. And after 9 months, after they were time to renew again, I sent them a letter to, because I told them I was ready to renew again because I was going to renew every 3 years. And they never gave me an answer, It went on for several months, never got an answer. And then I had to knock on the door telling me that they were foreclosing on all 4 of them and they were suing me. So there we go again. So I hired
even attorney. Though you've been through it once, getting that lawsuit's never a fun day, huh?
No, it wasn't fun at all. It was still scary. I hate it. I don't like it today. I mean, I'm so glad what I have to relieve the pain, but it's still not fun regardless of who you are, because it's a headache, but it's good to be able to know that you have the means to take care of it. So after that, I hired my attorneys. We went back and forth for a long, long time. But what was really disappointing is every month they sent me a statement on all 4 of these with the loan value and the interest and attorney fees every month. So I was getting stacks and stacks of papers and lawsuits. I had a lawsuit separate for each one, court dates for each one, and my attorneys were taking care of it, going back and forth. Then they subpoenaed all my bank accounts to see what was in my bank accounts at the banks, no less. So, the banks would send me notices saying that they subpoenaed my bank accounts on all the banks. They were looking at all the LLCs, all that. And then we still were going back and forth. And it was getting actually really kind of scary on that point, because it was getting pretty deep.
Yeah.
So this went, Michael, 38 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And in the process, my attorneys guided me properly. They told me to put, I was still collecting rents, I was still doing my job like the attorney said, do my job. I was taking care of the properties diligently. We put all the money in the escrows, an escrow account. We took care of the insurances and taxes just the same, but we weren't paying any mortgage payments. He told me to stop paying mortgage payments. So the mortgage payments, they were also adding the mortgage payments to this whole pile, right?
Yeah.
Every day the balances was growing and growing on 4 properties.
Wow.
So it was still really, really nerve-wracking.
Attention all real estate investors, business owners, stock traders, and anyone looking to get out of the rat race for good. We all know time is money, but did you know there's a wealth of resources on how to make more money, keep more money, and protect what you've earned, all for free online? Anderson Business Advisors YouTube channel offers free resources on asset protection and tax reduction from lawyers and CPAs designed to help you keep more money in your pocket. To learn how to limit your liability, protect what you've earned, and minimize your tax burden all for free, subscribe to Anderson Business Advisors on YouTube today.
And were you underwater with these properties, or were you, or did you have
not equity? At all? Not underwater at all. They were very good, profitable properties.
Yeah.
They finally came back after a little bit and they said that we don't want to foreclose. We don't want the properties. We want you to sell them and we want the cash.
Oh.
And I said, well, I ain't giving you cash. I don't have the cash. First of all, they wanted $463,000 now, okay?
Yeah.
So we went, I said, look, you know what? I'll be glad to get rid of the properties. You need to give me some time to sell them. I went back to attorneys. This was me and the attorneys. They went back, we submitted the legal letters and all that stuff saying that, please give us, some time so we could go ahead and sell them and then pay them off. And we were doing everything we could to try to sell them, get them, and so we could raise the funds, okay, to get them. Because they refused, did not want the houses. They weren't going to foreclose. They stopped foreclosing. They were not going to foreclose. So anyway, they didn't do it. We went back and forth forever. I didn't sell the properties. It was taking too long. We didn't raise up enough money. So after all this stuff, after the 38 months, there was a big, we finally, the attorney said they wanted to have a big powwow. After them doing everything they needed to do, after all their discovery, after 36 months, letters back and forth, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, and I was really worried that day. And I'm not kidding.
I remember that day. Yeah, I remember you going in and saying, what do I disclose? What do I not disclose? And, you know, do I show them this? Do I show them that? We went through everything. I remember that for sure.
Right. And right. You and I spoke quite a bit about what I needed to show them and what I needed to present. And, you know, between you and my attorneys, they, you know, they went the proper course. There's no question. Mm. But anyway, at the end of, so we're sitting there. Now, they're asking for $463,000, and the houses haven't been sold. And there's also $63,000 in escrow. So we all got sitting down there pretty silent, and I was sweating it. And then attorney come out, and the first thing they didn't say anything. The first thing he did is
How many attorneys were out there? How many were sitting around that table?
I had two, and they had three.
So five attorneys. That's reminds me of a joke. A good start, huh?
Yeah, well, I don't know, but I was scared to death.
Yeah.
I was just praying that the boat was going to float, stay afloat. Yeah. But I mean, I know I've been through this once before, but this one was a real pressure cooker for me because they went way out of their way to, they did everything. They checked my credits, they had everything. But anyway, and they spent, I can tell you right now, they spent a ton of money. So let me see. I had.
So you guys were sitting there at the table, and the first attorney came out and said what?
He came out, and the first thing he said to me, he goes, he didn't say anything to the attorneys. He looked at me. He asked me if I'm Mr. Russell. I said, yes, I'm Mr. Russell. He says, Mr. Russell, we see that you have created quite a web for yourself. I didn't know how to answer that, but I was glad he said it. So and I said to myself, you know what? I didn't create it. Michael Bowman created it.
And the important thing is before, you know, the harms occurred. So that was, you know, you can't do things after the fact. You got to do them beforehand. And so did you get a favorable settlement?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to show you what I look like right now. Right now, so we sat down and we had the deals already set out for them and for us. And our deal was I was going to turn over the escrow, which was $63,000 to them. Okay. And then I was going to sign over all the houses right there in a quick claim deed so they could have all four of them, which would be no hassle. It'd be theirs. And I'm walking. But I wanted total credit repair on my side. So a total credit repair. They had to remove all liens on any properties or any other things that they had on any of my problems or notes. Right? They had to release the subpoenas on all the banks. I didn't want to pay any attorney fees, which were my attorney fees were $315,000, by the way.
Oh, wow.
No attorney fee for the $315,000. And I want a letter of guarantee that at close, I want all of that out a letter at closing to release me totally of everything that we spoke about above.
And you got to keep all your other properties.
And I got, they didn't touch any other, and they couldn't do any, you know, they couldn't go back and touch any of my other properties or any of my other real estate or anything I had personally or in a company name.
Including those, that $3.5 million in commercial too, huh?
That's correct. They could not come back with me for anything. This deal was just these four, and that was it. So we kept this in a little internal circle, just the four of them.
Nice.
So blah, blah, blah. They talked. And then I also said that I wanted 1099 Cs. If anybody doesn't know what a 1099 C is, that's the relief of debt from them.
Yeah, cancellation of debt, yep.
Yeah, so that's a cancellation of my debt. So I wanted four 1099 Cs, and I wasn't leaving close until they could sign that they said they were going to give it to me. I wanted mortgage forgiveness on those, also on those debts, obviously. So it ended up, they talked for 20 minutes, blah, blah, blah. And they agreed with everything, Michael. And I was the most ecstatic person that you ever seen in your life.
Well, save all your other assets.
My structure held up. They did not want to deal with that structure anymore. Because my attorney told me, that they went to the all LLCs, and then when they found out that my LLCs were owned by a holding company, which was in Nevada, they balked a little bit, but they did check up on that. But then when the attorneys came back and checked up on the holding company and said that the holding company is owned by a living trust, or the Russell Living Trust, I think they just kind of gave up on the fees, Michael. It was too much of a chase.
too much and for no guarantee to get anything back. So might as well take the
no guarantee to get anything back. And I think they could have probably figured out that they could have went after easier clients to say, but that's terrible to say, but that's the way it works.
Well, that's fantastic. And, you know, why go after the two in the bush? Just go ahead and take the four properties at issue and give a global release on everything else. That's fantastic. Oh, I love that story. Right. That always makes me smile. Makes me happy, especially because you're able to keep going and build and build and build. And I've seen you grow over the years and pretty fantastic operation you've put together.
We're still building and we're still going to town. We're still doing we're doing 12 or 13 houses a year.
When you say 12 and 13 houses a year, what are you doing?
Well, we're flipping 12 to 13 houses a year, but and some of those I hold for myself for my retirement.
Yeah, perfect. I love it. So it kept your business alive. I love that story. I love that we were able to protect your assets and protect your future too and your family's future. You're kind of one of the examples of why I do what I do. It's a very rewarding profession. Keeps families alive, keeps them growing and flourishing. And someone like you who came from nothing and was able to save, sacrifice, build, and then when a lawsuit came forward, you're able to preserve your assets and then build up on top of that. And that's just fantastic. Love that story, Daddy.
There is no question, Michael, that between both of those, Anderson helped me maintain and keep almost everything I've had and didn't make it easier for the opposition, that's for sure. But you cannot put a price on it. There's just no way. There's just no way you could do it. You know what? I'm a client for life, brother. And after I go, my daughter's going to take over. So you and Amy will be working with it.
Oh, well, she's awesome. She's fantastic. And you've taught her right. So, hey, Eddie, I really want to tell you thank you and appreciate you, taking the time out of your busy schedule to talk with me and talk to all the listeners out there. I think it's just one of those great examples of protecting your assets for the future and taking your hard-earned money and your sacrifice, too. So, hey, really appreciate you taking the time, and we'll talk to you soon, Eddie.
Thank you again, Michael. Glad I could help.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Show notes for links to everything mentioned in this episode can be found on our website at andersonadvisors.com/podcast. Be sure you subscribe to our podcast, and if you are already a subscriber, please provide us a review of what you thought of this episode.